Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 158 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, Melanie is going to tell us about a varmint that was trapped in their chimney. She's also going to tell us about a recent trip she and Caroline took to Texas A&M. I'm going to update y'all just briefly on our bathroom situation. And then we're just going to talk about some other stuff. A little college football, a little this, a little that. Before we get started with all of that, though, just a reminder that if you would like to take a look at some of the stuff we mention here on the podcast, an easy place for you to do that is at our Amazon shop. And all you have to do is go to amazon.com/shop/bigboo, and you can click on the little caption icon over on the right-hand side, and it will tell you a few comments that we have about that particular item. It's very fancy, it's very fun, it's very convenient. amazon.com/shop/bigboo. Alrighty y'all, as always, thanks so much for being here, and we hope you enjoy episode 158. Hey everybody, this is Sophie, this is Big Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie, it's Big Mama.
And I don't know if y'all heard or not, but Melanie had a visitor in her chimney, and it wasn't Santa Claus.
It was not Santa Claus. I'm going to tell you, do you remember that this happened to us 2 years ago?
I do remember. I do remember.
And it was when Perry was in Colorado. He was on a hunting trip in Colorado, and I noticed one night the dogs were inordinately interested in the fireplace, and it really concerned me, but I didn't want to think about it too much because Perry was out of town, and so what am I going to do?
Right.
And so that time, so he put this heavy duty, that time after we cleared the raccoon out of the chimney, he put this heavy duty kind of grate over the top. And of course he said tied it down, which I feel certain means with a zip tie, cause that's what we use for everything around here.
Right.
So he zip tied it and put something just so that no more raccoons could get in our chimney. But there was a big cool front blew through last week and a storm came through and we were out of town. And so our theory is that at that point our grate was removed, or maybe just the raccoon was desperate enough for shelter that he ripped it off with his teeny tiny raccoon hands. And so anyway, so he had been at the ranch all weekend. Caroline and I had gone to College Station in Dallas, which I'll talk about in a little bit. So we had been gone. And then the minute the dogs got in from the ranch, which usually when they've been at the ranch for like 3 days, which is how long they'd been down there, they're super tired and they just want to get in their bed. But instead they went running straight towards the chimney.
That's so weird.
It's so weird. They just know, but they're hunting dogs, you know? So like their nose, I mean, and so we couldn't hear anything. We couldn't see anything, but like Piper especially was obsessed, like would not leave the fireplace. Like if we put her outside, she'd scratch to get back in so that she could keep watch. And like anytime Mabel tried to get near it, she'd growl at Mabel. It was like she had treed a raccoon and it was hers. Like she knew.
My word.
I know. But then the weird thing was, so Perry at one point says to me, he's like, maybe it's not a raccoon, it might be a rat, which I'm like, I don't know which is better, but I feel like a raccoon's better. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have something, a rat feels less sanitary to me. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was going to say you don't really have a cute rat in Disney movies, but you do have Ratatouille. So I guess you do. But anyway, so all that to say, at night, the dogs would kind of calm down because, of course, the raccoon was leaving to go out and do his raccoon things.
Foraging and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. In the trash and things like that, partying with. And anyway, so yesterday morning we were sitting and Piper like would not leave, like was resting her head like on the rock hearth and was sitting there. And so Perry got home and he said, okay, I'm going to climb up. And he said, oh yeah, there, he came in. He said, there sure is a raccoon looking straight up at me. He said, and it's a big fat raccoon. He said, it is like wedged itself in there.
Listen, the second my eyes made contact with that raccoon, would have been the second I moved out. Goodbye, house. Goodbye, house. I've enjoyed you. You've been good to us. I have a lot of affection for you in my heart, but I can no longer live here.
Yes.
Can no longer do that.
Yes. It's, we've had a good 20-something year run, but I, you know what's going to happen. So he's like, oh, yeah, there's a raccoon. So he removes everything from the fireplace. And so he starts to kind of slowly open our damper, which is our only barrier between our homestead and the raccoon, and is kind of looking up. And then he goes and gets like an assortment of tools. And I don't understand the tools. It's a wrench. It's a book light. It's a headlamp. Eventually a wire coat hanger, which really was the thing that saved the day, was brought into the mix. But we couldn't get it. Like, he was like, try to get the dogs, which the dogs will go so crazy sometimes. Like, if people walk by or if I start to load them up in the car, they go nuts. But like, they just would run up in the chimney and smell the raccoon, but we couldn't get him to bark. Like, we were wanting, and Perry was like, bark, like, we need him to bark, because he was like, we need the raccoon to go up and not out, you know, like, not down, like, we need to scare him up. He needs to know that our home is no place that he needs to run refuge.
Oh my word.
Oh, it was just, and so at one point he went up on the roof and he was like, try to see if you can get the dogs to stay in there. He said, because I'm going to try to get him to come out from this way. And he was like, but shut off all the bedroom doors. He said, and be ready to run out of the house just in case he comes in. Which,
listen.
And I thought, well.
Listen, if he thinks for 1 second, like, a raccoon darts into your living room, and to me, you go out of the front door and run towards forever. I mean, I don't know what.
You never stop. It's like, remember in Forrest Gump when Jenny broke up with him and he started running and he didn't stop? Like, next thing you knew. Yep. That would be me. And so, and because I thought, because here's the thing, if that raccoon emerges in our living room, what I'm going to have is a raccoon and a dog fight. Like, oh, it's not like the raccoon is going to drop down and wander around. I'm going to have two dogs that are then going to try to maul what in my mind is a fat, rabid raccoon in
it
my
hisses.
Living room.
Yeah.
Yes.
It for it has, sure hisses.
Oh, and it has little claws and teeth. And I mean, I just think raccoons are very wily. And so anyway, he tried that. That didn't work because the dogs wouldn't bark. So he came back and he kept poking with the wire coat hanger. And he was like, okay, I see a little bit of daylight. I mean, it was so fat and so wedged in there. He's like, I can see no daylight. All I see are these beady eyes looking at me. And I mean, I want to say that what I left off of my Instagram stories about it was, I'm going to say that we this raccoon was called some profane names. As we, at one point he came in with a small bucket of wood and some lighter fluid.
Oh, listen, he was not called Beloved. He was not called Beloved.
And I thought, only thing worse than a raccoon is a raccoon on fire. You know, like, that drops down. But thankfully, the raccoon seemed to realize that this was not a good place for him to be. And he eventually was poked with the wire hanger enough that he went up and out. And then Perry immediately went up on the roof and replaced our grate. And so, but the dogs were beside themselves with excitement. I mean, it really was going to shape up to be pretty much the pinnacle of their life.
So once the raccoon went out, were the dogs immediately uninterested in the fireplace?
Immediately uninterested.
That is like fascinating.
That was it. They knew something was in there. I mean, like, and like, we're obsessed with it. And like today they haven't even looked at it. Like, it's like the party's over. They know. So the problem is, and you know this, I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast, the house next door to us has been empty for about 40 years.
Right, right.
And so we know that raccoons live in that house because we see them regularly. They do. We see them go up and down and in the chimney.
I picture y'all watching them through the windows and they're all around the table playing cards, you know, like.
We do.
Smoking cigars.
So, yep. Just partying. I mean, they're over there. They've got a keg. They're like the neighbors you don't want. And so, but the people won't sell that house and it just sits there empty. And we've complained to the city multiple times and they don't really seem to care as long as it looks okay from the outside. and somebody mows the yard. And so, but do you remember this story, which we brought up last night? This is one of Caroline's precious childhood memories. And then I'll quit talking about raccoons. Oh. So her bathroom windows face the abandoned house.
Yes.
Do you remember that when she was little, that she was, do you remember the story that when she was about five, she was brushing her teeth one morning and she said, "Mom, Mommy, there's something on the chimney next door." And it was, this is so terrible. A raccoon had hung itself on an electrical wire.
I never knew this story.
Oh, that's terrible. It was awful. It was a dead raccoon was like hanging from that chimney. And she was like, "Oh, look at it. Mommy, is that it?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah." And I was like, "Perry, you're going to need to go cut down that raccoon. It had died." Oh. It was awful.
Bless it.
I know, it's terrible. But it's, I think, when the cold weather, they start looking for some place to nest. And so our chimney is not welcome to them anymore. They're going to have to all make their peace. Somebody felt like Wilbur the raccoon thought he was moving out. He said, "I'm leaving you suckers. I've got my own pad.
I found a nice place nearby." He's sneaking back over at night to get some vein of sausage. And then
I'm going to play one more round of poker with you losers, then I'm going next door to
That's
play.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we had that little bit of excitement. But now it is over, thank goodness, because you really do think, how are we going to get this thing out of our chimney if it doesn't want to go?
No, Jack. I mean, my thing would really be, I think Perry's phrase was right on the money when he said, we've got to get it to, it needs to leave up. Like, it's got to leave up. It's got to, because it is not welcome down here.
No. No, and we really wanted the dogs to bark because I wanted it to know how unwelcome it was down here. You know, like danger. But the dogs were not interested. But I feel like they were kind of being sneaky. Like if we're quiet, maybe we'll lure him in.
Yeah, so, I'd have pulled up a YouTube video of barking dogs on my phone.
And put it under. That's a good idea.
Put that thing on a Bluetooth speaker. Like.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah. And said, so anyway. Was our big excitement, but that is over. That he has left us. He is no more. So okay. he went back to wherever he came. So now, speaking of house things, you and I were talking briefly. So tell us about, update us on your bathroom situation.
Oh, listen, the bathroom. We still have an opportunity to be patient. Listen, so they ripped everything out last week of the new shower. They ripped the new shower out because of the tile job. That's been a whole thing. And so now they have started to tile again, but we had a little misunderstanding about the size of the shelf that was going in the wall. So anyway, the contractor came over this morning and he's going to get that fixed. But we are still sharing a bathroom with Alex. This is about week six.
Oh, God.
And, I have to keep reminding myself, like, this is not a real problem. It's not necessarily convenient. Here's the main thing that's driving me crazy about it. It's not that the bathroom is not finished. It's that nothing is where it's supposed to be.
Yes.
I feel like the house is a wreck. We have a very sweet housekeeper who comes a couple of times a month, to help keep me sane. And she has not been to the house because of course there's so much dust and all that kind of stuff. And we were thinking, you know, we'll just wait and until it's all done and then it'll really be clean. Cause she was saying like, it won't really be clean. And so the combination of it feeling like really not clean and nothing being where it is, where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Is, listen, it's a good time. So,
yeah.
And there's the whole thing of having to, in the afternoons, of having to try to let Hazel out of her crate because she has to stay in the crate because there are people in the house. So, having to get her out of the crate and outside and then contain her somewhere while they're still working. And so, Hazel was not meant for a home improvement project. It's really not her preference. Hazel was made for everybody home in pajamas by five. And so,
yes.
Anyway,
no strangers in the house.
No strangers in the house. But I do think it's going to be really pretty when it's done. And the new people who are tiling, just the way that they've laid that thing out and the way they're trimming it out, I really do think it's going to be gorgeous. But
yeah,
it's going to be worth it. I told David this morning, yes. I said, it's going to be so worth it. But our contractor told us right at the beginning, he was like, you know, we could get this done in a certain amount of time, but things always go wrong. And my mm-hmm. goodness, do they ever. So,
yeah, I think you always have to allow, like, you have to pin on another month to whatever they tell you. You know, I think they mean well, but it's like mm-hmm. that's in a perfect scenario.
Yeah. So anyway, I will post pictures of the new shower when it's done. But hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll be wrapping it up. So,
okay. And it'll be so worth it. And maybe like right before the holidays, it'll be nice before you have guests over, you'll finally be back to having your own bathroom.
Yes. Won't that be something?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What a novelty.
What a novelty.
Well, our thoughts and prayers are with you because that's a lot to endure. And I remember that, like, when our kitchen was so torn up and it was, you know, you knew it was going to be worth it, but it was the thing of like, I don't want to have to go cook outside. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel that way some mornings. I don't want to use Alex's shower.
Yes. Yes.
I just want my own shower. I don't want to use Alex's shower. Yeah. And listen, I know that I remind myself too, there are parts of the country, like if we lived in New York City, odds are we would share one bathroom all the time. You know what I mean? Yes. Like, because we would not have a house that had more than one bathroom. And so, anyway, it's fine. I'm just eager to see the finished product is what I will tell you.
Yeah. But, you know, and here's the thing, isn't that part of the reason you don't live in New York City is because you don't want to just have one bathroom.
It's true. It's true. Know?
Mm-hmm. It's like, that's part of why I don't live in New York City is because I want to be able to drive to the grocery store mm-hmm. and get in my car and go somewhere, you know?
Right.
So it is what it is. So,
but it's all fine. It's all fine.
Okay.
We're going to be good.
We can't wait to see it. It'll be worth it. I've got, speaking of home improvement, so I've got Perry, so it's kind of been rainy here, which means work for him is a little slow. And so he is actually in the process in the other room as I'm podcasting.
Wow.
He's trying out some different wood strippers on our wood countertop.
Okay.
Remember, because we talked
yes.
about it. So he's seeing what's going to work on that. So we're getting that project underway.
Well, I will say I had no idea anybody else was at home. I feel like you've soundproofed the playroom or something.
No, I'm in here shut up tight.
Okay.
So he's in there. Now Caroline's going to be coming home in a little bit, but everybody knows Mama's podcasting.
Now I have to tell you that this weekend, and I've gone back and forth about whether or not to even mention this.
Oh, what?
Because I don't want to, I know that sometimes I might watch a television show that somebody else would think, well, that's terrible. Like, I don't
yes.
know why you would watch that show.
Yeah.
And so this show is a little dicey, especially with the language. The language is just really, really, really terrible.
Okay.
So I'm just going to get that out of the way.
Okay.
But back in the summer, I actually watched a couple of episodes of Succession, and I was like, I don't think it's for me. I don't really get it, whatever. But I kept seeing stuff about people, especially lately, who have been talking about how great it is and how season 2 was so good and da 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 da. So I thought I think I may give Succession another chance. And listen, it is something else.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It is something else.
Is it HBO? Did you tell us?
Yeah, it is HBO, which
okay.
which should be a really good indicator of what's
yes.
happening with language.
It's adult content. That's why it's called the Home Box Office. Home Box Office Channel.
That's right. It yeah. is adult content. Mm-hmm. I would, like, if Alex said he was going to watch it, I would say, no, sir. No, you were not.
Okay.
It is very rated R, if there was a rating on it. But yes. I'm going to tell you what's so compelling about it are the family dynamics. The family dynamics are something else. So
Okay.
Just FYI.
Okay. I'm in. I'm needing a new show. I feel like Poldark. Remember I talked about being excited that Poldark was back on, and I think I am, but I've noticed now I've got 3 or 4 built up on my DR and I haven't felt compelled to watch them, which I know I will mm-hmm. at some point. It's just, it's long. It's PBS, which means it's an hour long with no commercials. It's just, it's a big commitment, you know?
Right. Well, Succession is too. Those episodes are an hour, okay. Like straight on an hour. And sometimes I'm kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
But again, the family dynamics are fascinating. And I feel like I probably have not even gotten to the tip of the iceberg with the family dynamics. But
That sounds intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. I think the problem with Poldark is, and the difference, because like I remember watching, which this is another one that is not family friendly, that was also on HBO, is Homeland, when I was on a big Homeland
Showtime. Yes.
Yeah, Showtime. That's right. I knew it was one of those that allows racier content. You know, it was the fastest hour of television for the most part. Like you would sit there and be like on the edge of your seat, especially the first two seasons. Like you were just, I'm freaking out all the time. Poldark, because it is masterpiece theater, there are times when you're like, I don't even understand what y'all are saying. I don't really care what Parliament thinks about whatever's going on. Like there's just certain plot things that just are a little draggy is what I'm saying.
Okay.
So, it's, you know, it was a simpler time, Poldark. So it's, you know, it is what it is. And it's PBS. So it's just not going to be able to have the same thing. But so I feel like Succession could be a good, because I'm in need of a show right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I would have probably, if I had known how bad the language, I mean, just the content in general is pretty dicey.
Yes.
I don't know. But I'm telling you, like in terms of the dynamics of a family, it's fascinating. And even, I would say even the pathology of a family, like there's just some sickness and some dysfunction and that continues and some real unhealthy dynamics. And I don't know. It's interesting.
Okay. So maybe it'd be a good thing because it would make us all thankful for our own families come the holidays.
I'm going to tell you, you could not do worse. I don't feel
okay.
like.
Okay.
I mean, you could do worse. You could do worse. But it's just, it's also interesting because you don't know. I mean, you don't know. But it's about a very wealthy family in New York who owns a media company. So it's a little Murdoch-ish. But you don't know that it's based on the Murdochs, like, but it's got that vibe, you know, with a very domineering and dominating father figure.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Okay. Well, that sounds fascinating. I think I'm going to add that. I'm going to add that to my list. You know, we have a lot of good, I feel like we're on the precipice of a lot of great TV because The Crown's coming back soon. Miss Maisel is coming back soon. And then for me, Outlander is coming back in February. And so I feel like there are good TV times ahead. So I'm excited about that. But here's what I'll do. I'll watch The Crown in a weekend. You know what I mean? It'll be one of those. I'll watch the whole thing in a weekend. I'll have a British accent by the end of it. And then I'll be sad.
Caroline.
I'll wake up.
Caroline.
Time for tea. And then I'll wake up Monday morning dazed and confused with a British accent and a lot of regret that I watched it all that fast. You know, it's that's what I'll do.
Dan, did you ever watch Handmaid's Tale?
No, I didn't. And I know, and you know, I noticed that our friend Ree is real into it now. And so I feel like everybody likes it. Maybe I can start it. I just, you know, it's, I get worried about the disturbing content.
I know. I'm telling you, Succession
and I know
is.
You said it's like because there's a villain that you can really root against. Part of me is like, I don't know that I need to be that against somebody right now. Like, I feel like it's a lot.
Really?
It's a lot of feet. Well, I don't know.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know if I need the angst. I don't know.
I think you're in a healthier emotional place than I am.
Now Caroline and I went, I thought when you were talking about things you didn't want to bring up from the weekend or you were hesitant to bring up, I thought it was the football game, but seriously, I did not even watch a minute of it. I mean, we were on the road for the whole thing. You texted me looking for a score when you texted and said, I feel safe congratulating you on the win. And I didn't even know what was going on at that point.
Yeah.
So
it was the second quarter when I texted you.
I wasn't emotionally invested in that, in the game is what I'm saying. Like, you know, when you're watching it, you're all in, but it was kind of one that's after the fact where I was like, oh, we won. It sounds like we played good. The end. So, but Caroline and I were actually, at A&M on Thursday and Friday. Cause we went and did our first like real official college tour.
I cannot believe it.
I know, it was very weird. You know what's weird? And this is how you would be. I know this is how you'll be at Mississippi State, is like, you know, and I go back to College Station all the time. So it's not like I haven't been there a lot over the last 30 years since I was in college there. But like driving, like when we went Friday morning, we were going for our campus tour. And we drove like down Texas Avenue, which goes right in front of the main entrance of the school. And like, just that, like, it's so surreal where I'm like, it, like, I remember so vividly being 18 years old and the first time that like I made this drive and there I was, and this was the school I was going to go to. And like, it doesn't seem that long ago, you know, like I was like, it just, and it all looks the same. Like that part of the campus, you know, as much as it's changed, that part of the campus still looks the same. So I'm like, it's just so weird. Like that, like it's so different being there now that it's a reality where I'm like, oh, in a year and a half, like this is hopefully going to be where I'm going to visit her. Like I'll be coming to see her. I don't know. It was just very strange.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's very weird. And so, but we had a tour. It was funny because a cold front came through and we had our campus tour that morning at 9 a.m. and it was cold and wet and windy and just that kind of like mist where like you don't even know that you're getting rained on, but you feel your hair and you're like, oh, my hair is soaking wet. You know, like that kind. So like we didn't have umbrellas because you were like, oh, it's not raining. And then after you're out in it for about 30 minutes, but even the campus tour, I'm like, this is the same campus tour I took. Like, we stop at the MSC, we stop at the academic building, we hear about Lawrence Sullivan Ross, we go to the library. The whole thing was so familiar. But I'm going to tell you that what stood out to me and that I couldn't point out to Caroline was I was so impressed with the number of kids that were on campus attending their classes on
How
that cold, wet, rainy morning.
Listen.
Listen, the kids of the 2000s are a lot more gung-ho than the kids of the 1990s, because that would have been a morning that I would have stayed in my bed.
Young scholars, just young scholars.
Yes. And just cute. Like everyone you looked at, I was like, well, y'all are just all cute. Everybody's so cute. Like just, they have their little bike rentals, their little turquoise bikes, and they're riding their bikes and they're riding their scooters and they're in their leggings. And I think that's the other thing too, is to look at Caroline and go, oh, you could just go jump in and walk with them and nobody would even know that you weren't their age. Like this is, it's so weird. So, but she loved it. I think we were about 5 minutes into the campus tour that she was like, oh, yeah, this is where I'm going for sure. Like, done. Like, game over. I'm not even interested anywhere else. And so, which, you know, does not make me sad. And so we did that, and we did an admissions session, and we did a School of Agriculture session, because she's thinking that may be where she wants to major, somewhere in the School of Ag.
Listen, which I already knew that part. Just full disclosure, but it has continued ever since you told me that. It has continued to make me so happy. Like when I think about, especially when I think about how we met and how like we totally bonded over the fact that we both went to ag schools. Mm-hmm. The fact that Caroline Schenkel might be a student in the College of Agriculture at Texas A&M and that I would get to tell my daddy.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Because you know, he was an agriculture student at Mississippi State. Like, it would thrill him to no end. And then I have a friend from here whose son is in the ag school at State now. And there's just something about it where you're like, golly, we still have kids who want to grow things and build things. You know, I'm all for let's grow things and build things. And so it makes me so happy.
Yeah. And it was so like it to me, we had gone. So we have Perry's got one of his best friends from college is on the Ag Council at A&M. And so they had this big dinner on Thursday night and they invited us, he and his wife, who's also on the Ag Council, invited Caroline and I to go to this dinner just to meet different people in the Ag department. And so we did, but I was so tickled because it was just all these good old guys. Mm-hmm. Like it's the A&M, you know, cause I think I've been gone so long at A&M, so much bigger than it used to be. And everything can start to feel like you start to think, is it just super corporate now? Like, has it lost that like feeling, like that Aggie feeling mm-hmm. that it always had? And I'm going to tell you that the main guy got up to like do the dinner or like to enter, you know, to say the prayer. And he got up and our new AD was speaking that night. And he got up and this was essentially his introduction. Yeah, we're real glad y'all are all here tonight. And we appreciate y'all coming out. And we got our new AD. He came to us from University of Mississippi. And anyway, he was there. And that's a lot of big words. He said a lot of big words. Anyway, we want to introduce him. And I was like, well, I couldn't love this more.
No, here are my people. Here are my people.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Because the question is, are we too slick? We are not. Like, we are just as friendly and down to earth, and we're not worried about putting on any kind of airs or we're just real. And I was like, that's what I've always loved about it, is it's real people. And I met some of the nicest people, and everybody was so gracious, and they were all so nice to Caroline and so welcoming. And it made me love it. Seeing it through the eyes of not just a former student, but seeing it through, like, where would I want my kid to go? Mm-hmm. Was like a total, like, I really could get choked up. It was just like, this is where she's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Like, it just,
I'll
it
cry
felt
with
so
you.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was just, I don't know. It just felt good. So really fun. And then we left there and we had to drive to Dallas for soccer on Saturday. So needless to say, by the time I got home Saturday night, I was like, well, I'm never getting in my car and driving anywhere ever again. I'm done.
I know. And then you had to deal with the raccoon.
And then I had to deal with the raccoon. I mean, there's no rest for the weary.
No rest for the weary. Well, I will say, when we went to the state LSU game a couple of weekends ago, and we were with some friends of ours from here who are LSU fans. And so I was kind of walking them around campus and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, we got back because they wanted to see the LSU players get off the bus, and we didn't. But Alex looked at his, I think he looked at his snap map or something, and he said, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so from our school. He said, they're just right over here. I'm just going to go find them. And off he went. Like across the junction. Here he goes. But that same kind of thing, like, just, he feels so at home there.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, you just haul them to games and haul them to whatever you can, you know, while they're growing up and all that kind of stuff. And you wonder if it'll take or if it won't, or if there'll be some place that they love more. But I don't know. He really loves it there.
Yeah.
He genuinely, he really loves it there. And he feels like he's a part of what is going on there, even though he's still just a sophomore in high school. And I don't know. It's a really sweet thing. Like, it's so familiar to him, and I don't know. I love it. I can't wait until we do a visit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just super fun. Like, there's something about it that it made me, like, I know it'll be hard, but it also made me so excited for her and all that's ahead. And just kind of, she starts to really think about, like, what she wants to do and where she wants to go. I don't know. It was really fun. We had a great time. It made me, I don't know. The whole thing was really good.
Now, did y'all stay at Honey and Biggs?
Oh, yeah. We stayed at Honey and Biggs. And it was a short stay because we were really just there during Thursday, went to the dinner Thursday night, did all our stuff on Friday, and then we had to head to Dallas. So we stayed at Honey and Biggs. And listen, I think Caroline would live with Honey and Big and be just happy.
I have no doubt.
Yeah, just happy. She'd just be happy to be there. But we ended up missing our dorm tour. That's the only thing we didn't do. So at some point we may have to go back and look at a dorm. But more than anything, I just wanted her to do all the other stuff that day, just the admissions stuff and to hear about all the different majors and, you know, just kind of see, because I thought, you know, that kind of helps us now. If we know that's the goal, that kind of helps us work towards that goal.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, y'all, it's me, all by myself in the middle of the podcast, because I want to tell you about Simple Contacts. Listen, there are a million things demanding your time. Contact lenses should not be one of them. And Simple Contacts lets you renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. So if you're on your couch, you can reorder your contacts. If you're in an airport, you can reorder your contacts. If you're at your office, guess what? You can reorder your contacts. The doctor's office is now wherever you are. It's so simple, y'all. The Simple Contacts Vision Test is self-guided. It takes less than 5 minutes. It takes so much less time than if you have to make an appointment and get to the eye doctor, take time off, sit in the waiting room. This test is designed by ophthalmologists, and a licensed doctor reviews every test. So you can skip the office visit, but not the care. The reviews for Simple Contacts speak for themselves. Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 5,000 times on the App Store, and you can text with the support team and always get to speak with a person if you need some help. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, so you don't have to shop around, and the vision test is only $20. Plus, the contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free, and best of all, we have a special promotion for our listeners of the Big Boocast. Y'all, I did not understand how this could work, but sure enough, I stood right here in my office. I took a vision test. Somebody looked over that vision test. They confirmed my prescription and my contacts were on the way. Really is a time saver. So for $20 off your first Simple Contacts order, so all you have to do, you go to simplecontacts.com/bigboo20 or use the promo code bigboo20 at checkout. That's simplecontacts.com/bigboo20 or enter the promo code bigboo20 at checkout for $20 off your first Simple Contacts order. Now, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. Simple Contacts will only test that your current prescription helps you to see 20/20. They don't write new prescriptions. They don't examine eye health. But this is a great way to make sure that your prescription is accurate and to renew your contact lens orders. I'm a fan. Y'all, I am so happy to be able to tell you about something that Melanie and I both love so much, and that is our FabFitFun subscriptions. The 2019 Fall Box is on sale now, and it is fantastic. And y'all, I cannot even explain to you what a treat and a joy it is to get a FabFitFun box at your front door 4 times a year. And I think my favorite thing in this fall box was an Aromatherapy Associates Deep Relax Roller Ball that you put across the back of your neck or on your shoulders for stress relief. It smells so delicious and it works. And I'm a little stressed this time of year. Plus, there are health and beauty products. There are household products. There are great accessories. Sometimes there's even jewelry. It's full-size premium beauty, lifestyle, fitness, home, and tech products. They deliver the seasonal must-haves that we all need. So the fall box is a perfect way to treat yourself or others and get ready for what is surely the most wonderful time of year with a carefully curated box of products. I'm telling y'all, it's like Christmas 4 times a year. The products in the FabFitFun box always have a value of over $200. It retails for $49.99, but you can get $10 off your first box at fabfitfun.com/bigboo. That's fabfitfun.com/bigboo for $10 off your first FabFitFun subscription box. Y'all are gonna love it.
And then football on Saturday, I will tell you too, and this is where I am with A&M football right now, because like A&M season is kind of like, yeah, whatever. We've still got to play LSU and Georgia and South Carolina, so whatever. But like when Caroline told me we were driving, we were outside of Austin on our way home from Dallas, and she was like, TCU just beat Texas. I'm going to tell you that it wasn't the worst news I'd heard.
Sorry,
that's all I'm going to say.
Sorry, Longhorn fans.
Sorry to my Longhorn fans.
Mm-hmm. Old rivalries die hard.
They do. And here's the thing. Don't act like you wouldn't feel the same way about us losing. That's the whole thing, is people want to say, I would be happy. I just cheer for Texas. No, you don't. You cheer against A&M the same way we cheer against y'all. And it's fine. It is what it is. We all love each other. This is about football. It's not about love. What I'm saying. I'm just going to say that I took it on the chin on Saturday. Oh, you lost. Iowa State lost. All their ranked teams lost on Saturday.
It was not a good day for them.
It was not. I felt like if that Sooner schooner, that covered wagon that tipped over, if anything put like some sort of a bad juju on a season, it was like that thing going down the Saturday before. It was almost like it was foreshadowing.
Right. There was no way really to get around it. You're not going to win after that happens. You can't, like, how do you come back from that?
No. And then when they said they can't do it anymore, like they're getting rid of the schooner for the rest of the year, I was like, you change up all your dynamics.
Well, you know, Alabama played this past weekend with a backup quarterback.
They did. I'm going to say they didn't seem to skip a beat.
They really didn't skip a beat. But I'm going to tell you that everybody I know who has been to an Alabama game the last 2 weeks has wanted to talk about their new lights. They've got these new lights. State has the same lights in the baseball stadium, but Alabama put them in the football stadium, and there's a whole thing. They turn out all the regular lights, and they just put the LED lights that run around the stadium. And I, listen, nobody loves a good game day experience more than I do. But I just am like, really? Like, so it's not enough that you beat everybody like 114 to 2. Like, now we got to have a Broadway play at the beginning of the fourth quarter or whenever it is. Like, it's just, I don't know. I've never seen such a pattern of overachieving in my life.
Yes.
You know, where you put your backup quarterback in and really your offense may even work a little bit better than it did the week before with your starter. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. It is crazy. But it's just, I mean, what are you going to do? It is what it is. Although I will say there's a new number one in town.
There is a new number one in town. The LSU Tigers.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know. Who would have ever thought Ed Orgeron was going to be the coach of the number one team in the country? But
who would have thought? He sure is. And here's what I think is here's what I think is a fascinating discussion. As we know, he did not have success at Ole Miss when he was there. He lost that job. He was the interim coach at USC. Now, I do think he was doing some good things there, but I don't think he was polished enough for what USC was wanting. I wonder now if USC isn't kicking themselves thinking, what did we do?
Right. But if he had stayed at USC, he would have needed they'd had to send out a translator. They would have had to have hired somebody from South Louisiana to go translate for the media in Southern California.
For sure. Well, just flying in that Popeye's chicken every week for him would get pricey. You know?
Seriously.
I mean, that'd cost a pretty penny. But it's like it to me is an example of when the right coach finds the right fit at the right school. Like, and you can't predict that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you could, everybody would do it. But it's like there's something about all those parts all coming together. It's what Saban's done at Alabama, and I feel like you look at Orgeron, and it's something else. I mean, it is something else. I'm thrilled for him.
Well, you know, I will never forget when he got the head coaching job at Ole Miss. My mama called me because he went and spoke to the Ole Miss boosters at the country club in my hometown. Uh-huh. And mama said, they said his language was horrible. Like, they said they had never heard such language. And so that didn't translate well in Mississippi, like his sort of style. But seriously, it's exactly what you're saying. But in Baton Rouge, all day long, like.
That's right.
It's just. He it's like a hand in a glove. Like he just he fits the culture, the way those kids adore him. I don't know. It brings me so much joy to watch him interact with his players and to see how the LSU fans respond to him. Like it's just one of those. I don't know. You hoped it would go well for him. I'd never expected it would go this well for him, and it's so fun to sit back and see that thing play out. Like I hope, you know, I hope LSU goes all the way. I hope they go the entire distance and win a national championship. I would be so happy.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I think, I mean, A&M still has to play them, which I'm just saying if they stay ranked, if they were to beat Alabama on November 9th and they stay ranked, then A&M will have played the number one team in the nation three times in one season.
I'm so sorry.
I mean, is that just like, what do you even do with that? So
given your affection for LSU, and your love for your Aggies.
Yes.
Would you want the Aggies to upset the apple cart and the possibility of a national championship for LSU by winning?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I don't love them that much. Yeah. I love them second to A&M. Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. If we could upset them as the number one team in the nation all day long, I would take that all day long. No question. But if we were to lose that game and they were to go on, I will be cheering for LSU against Alabama for sure.
Oh, yeah, I will, too. LSU over Alabama.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be cheering for them all the way, except for when they play us, in which case I would love to see us knock off LSU. And I think everybody in that game is going to be a little salty after those seven overtimes last year.
Really, so, the best college football game I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. I mean, it really was. It was the best one ever. So I don't think this year's can possibly top that, but it'll be fun to watch. And then I was going to say on another LSU related note, our friend Les Miles
has
really turned Kansas around quick, which also shows what really good coaching can do, because Kansas knocked off Texas Tech and they almost beat Texas the week before. But that, did you see or read about the ending of that Kansas Texas Tech game?
I did not.
Okay. This is what I'm going to tell you. Tell me this in the Les Miles factor. So it's tied Kansas is driving down the field. They get to 15 seconds left, maybe 12 seconds left. They're going to kick a field goal for hopefully the win from maybe it was probably like a 40-yard field goal. I think the kicker lines up. He starts to kick it just as they whistle timeout to freeze him. He makes that one, but you're like, well, it didn't count. So they line up. He goes to kick it again. He misses that one. He misses it. It ricochets off. A Texas Tech player scoops it up like he's going to, like, so the Tech has the ball. He goes to try to lateral pass it to another one of his players, drops it, and Kansas gets the ball back with 2 seconds left on the clock. So then they get to kick a field goal again, and they won the game. Is that the most Les Miles thing ever?
It is. It is. He has a – there's some angel that has visited him at some point in his life. That has given him a special anointing for moments such like that. The only thing that would have made that a more Les Miles ending is if he had either needed a timeout and had run out, or if he completely mismanaged the clock for those last 2 seconds and they were unable to kick it. Like, you don't really know how that thing's going to go.
Yes, it could go either way.
It could go either way. But I'm so glad it went that way.
Yeah, it was very fun. I was very happy. So it's fun watching. I've even had fun watching Mac Brown at UNC this year. Like, it's fun watching these coaches that have been let go of a place come back and have success somewhere else. I've been happy for them.
I'm going to tell you what. Last week, after we had a Thursday night game, a high school game last week, and Alex told me on Wednesday night, he was like, hey, if we win the game, we're all spending the night at school. And I was like, what? And he was like, we're going to spend the night at school. So... And I said, are you going to do that? And he was like, I'm 100% doing that. And I said,
yeah, of course.
Okay, well, so the next day I texted his coach and I was like, hey, is this thing legit? And he was like, 100%. He said, I told him. He said, they asked me back in the summer. I got it approved. I double checked today that it was approved. And he said, I'm going to stay up here with him. So, and then another assistant coach was going to stay with him. And... as one of Alex's friend's mom said about their head coach, she said, you know, her son feels like that coach just glows in the dark. He loves him so much. Like, he just thinks, you know, it's just that sweet relationship that happens a lot of times on a team, and they just adore him. Friday morning, it's like, well, I don't know if Alex is awake, asleep. I don't know what he's doing. And he busted in my office and was like, that was amazing. And it was seriously probably one of the top five moments of his life, maybe top three.
It was one
of those nights where everything was funny. Like, they just had a ball. And he will remember it for the rest of his life. And so that's exactly why, like, these coaches you're talking about, when you, I don't know, there's something about being on this side of it too, where you see how much their investment and somebody's life means, and how much it shapes them and all that kind of stuff. So you want to see those good coaches. Like, you just can root for them all day long, because it really is about so much more than winning and losing. And so Les Miles and Mac Brown, I mean, and Ed Orgeron, all those guys, it's fun to watch them win, but it's also really cool to think about how many lives they have affected in ways that we will never know about, in ways they probably don't even know about. Just by being like a constant loving presence in those guys' lives.
And I think the thing, like, with the three of them is they all appear to be good men, you know, I feel like, and so you don't hear anything bad about them, except maybe for Ogeron's language.
Right.
From your mama. but
I had never heard such language.
But you like to see that. So.
I love it.
I
love it.
I know.
I was going to say, yesterday we had the last JV game of the year, and I was killing some time before because it was kind of on the other side of Birmingham. And I went a Nordstrom Rack and found a pair of Madewell boots that I didn't get them, but I've continued to think about them today.
Okay.
So I may have to swing back by and see if they're still available.
Okay, are they booties?
They're a higher booty. Yeah, but they're booties. Okay. They zip up, but they're the most beautiful camel leather.
Mm.
And I think they were last year's model. And so they were about less than half price of what they would have been if I had gotten them last year because it was Nordstrom Rack. But I've continued to think about them today and really feel like I may need to invite them to live with me.
That's how you know.
Mm-hmm. I know when you think about them the next day. But my point is they had all kinds of Christmas stuff. Like they had all kinds of like stuff for your table. And usually I'm like, it is not even Halloween. But for some reason, I was ready to see it. For some reason, it felt it felt good to me. I don't know. I was ready for it.
I like that. Well, I think we're at the end. I mean, we're November. I feel like we're pretty much almost to November at this point. I feel like it's time. You know, it's mid-October. It's still a little bit. I feel like the weather's cooled off. It becomes like, okay, I can think about this again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's sort of where I am. And I don't know, maybe because I think, too, if it's Christmas, then my bathroom's going to be finished.
Well, that's true, too.
But I don't know. Last year, I bought, for the first time in a long time, I bought some new Christmassy stuff to go on the table and our bar that I decorate like a mantle. And so, yes. I don't know. I was kind of like, I think I could maybe
wrap my
head around this again. Yeah, I think I could.
You're ready. That's funny because I was actually thinking there was some blogger that I follow and she was having to put all her Christmas stuff up like this week because I guess they were doing some sort of photo shoot at her house, which I'm not in that kind of pressure. But think, you know what? If I had an artificial tree, I could totally get that out next week. You know, like I could start decorating and be ready. Now we do a real tree, so that's not an option, but I could start decorating.
I have a friend who's going to start this weekend. She said, because they're going to be out of town Thanksgiving. Uh-huh. And she said, it takes a little while to get it all up and I'm just going to go ahead and start and I can enjoy it for a long time. And I'm kind of not opposed to that. Like,
yeah,
why not?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of my thing is it's like some years there have been times where I've put it all up and then felt like it was time to turn right back around and put it all down, you know? And so I'm like, sometimes it's nice to get to enjoy it for a while.
Now we normally do a gift guide episode.
Yes.
Every year. And we're going to do that again. I'm looking at my calendar. We're going to do that again this year and it will be the week of November 18th is when it will be.
Okay. Okay, great. I can't wait. I can't wait to see what our gift guide is going to contain this year.
And then we're going to do another Christmassy episode with our good friend Travis Cottrell, and it will be on Patreon. So no pressure if you're not on the Patreon, but that's where our Travis Christmas Spectacular will be because it's time for Travis to come back around for sure.
It is. Well, and I feel like he's always going to be good. He's good for some Neil Diamond Christmas for us.
Yes.
And I feel like he can tell us, he always likes to tell us about them making candy. I feel like there's so many Cottrell traditions that I love to hear about every year. It seems like he always ends up joining us around the holidays. So I can't wait to have Travis. It's my fave.
I also want to say Andrew Peterson has a Christmas album that's been out for several years called Behold the Lamb of God. I heard it for the first time maybe 10 years ago. I don't know, any tours and different things around Christmas time. He's actually going to be at our church this year. But he remastered the Behold the Lamb of God album. And I listened to it for the first time yesterday. And when the first song started, I kind of had to hold my heart a little bit. Like, it is so gorgeous.
Okay. I love it. Okay. That's on my list. It's on my list.
So it's fantastic. And so we can link to that on iTunes and on Spotify.
Okay.
So
awesome.
It's really good.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's about it, I guess.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody.
As always, we're so glad you're here.
Always.
All right. We will talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.